This is Guy Bogart in Friendship to the Universe, which includes, in a lovely affiliation, folks and cats, and particularly close to my KFOX friends who have been a real part of our cats program over these 4 years of fellowship. We're going to spend our wee fleeting minutes with Elizabeth Coatsworth in a way I'm hoping you'll want to go to your bookstore and plan to keep her a permanent guest in your home, or at least arrange with your local librarian for a visit now and then with this charming lady of the cats. I can't just remember when I did first discover Elizabeth Coatsworth. There was her story, The Cat and the Captain, from the Macmillan Company in 1927. I lost my copy and had to buy another from Mrs. Agatha Davis in New Orleans. There was a superb edition from London of The Cat Who Went to Heaven in 1949, but earlier in the U.S. in 1930. Beautiful in illustrations and general format. Then I read and reread that other Macmillan dream about 3 years ago, those just-right poems of Night and the Cat, with illustrations by the Japanese artist Fujita. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Cats Magazine has used some of her poetry from time to time. But you really never know Elizabeth Coatsworth. I'd love to sit for an evening, any number of evenings, with her and her husband and family, and have her read her stories and poems of cats. Like Frances and Richard Lockridge, she not only writes classically about cats, but her novels have cats treading delicately across the plot. Not at all too long a prelude to telling you Simon and Schuster of New York have in your bookstores another of those deluxe affairs which we associate with Coatsworth tradition. It is the giant golden book of cat stories, and how they sell it at $1.95 in these days is a mystery to me. Bless them for that generosity. Elizabeth Coatsworth is only part of the book. It is, by the way, one of those 10 by 13 inch really giant books. The matchless stories have illustrations as matchless by Fyodor Rozhenkovsky in color, and lots of them. Hope that means something. If you happen to have seen a few years ago the Garden City Publishing Company's grand edition of Rudyard Kipling's The Cat That Walks by Himself and others of the Just So Story series, you know what it means to have a book illustrated by Rozhenkovsky. I don't know just how rigid the copyright restrictions as to amount of material that can be quoted in a review, but this isn't a review, it's a poor effort at a tribute. Anyway, we could, in our short time, give only a faint representation of the varieties of poetry and prose, and nothing at all of the unbelievable illustrations. I suppose we might as well begin at the back of the book with a Coatsworth poem interpretively framed by Rozhenkovsky color. If you were a cat, if you were a cat, where would you go, swift as the wind and silent as snow? I'd creep up along walls amid the trees where the boughs overhead move in the breeze, and I'd look for a deer and tall moose too, and watch what bears and muskrats do, and stare at squirrels and porcupine, and sleep in the glade in the warm sunshine, and come home at night sleepy and well with lots of secrets I'd never tell. Just to round out the variety, there's even a cat's chanty, music by Jimmy Carroll and all. Four stanzas. The first one reads, "The mate he signed me up as cat, and off we go to sea, for the life upon the bounding wave is now the life for me." My heart and memory went back to Indiana, oh yes, I'll confess it, 55 years ago, when we sat on the back hillside of our Brookville home and watched on summer evenings a stretch of several miles along the East Fork of Whitewater River, and felt God in those millions of fireflies on summer nights. Each tiny flicking light, something of divine fire, I can echo, so mote it be, to Elizabeth Coatsworth's Firefly Lanterns, quote, "On an evening when the fireflies are dancing everywhere, everyone believes in fairies. You can see only their lanterns, but no one except fairies could be so gay and so airy, now swirling upward in a group, now separating to circle alone, now bowing to their partners, the firefly lanterns show the pretty patterns of the dance. Sometimes the moon joins in, but her lantern is too large. It dwarfs the others. No moonless nights are best, but only the stars watching, like older elves standing apart to admire the fairy frolic over the meadows, unquote. If you have never seen the fairy dance of millions of fireflies, you must be reborn to this miracle. And to think in my Hoosier childhood that I did not know how to nurture the pussy willows. They have to be fed with milkweed nectar, and we had lots of milkweed. Later, and still long after, in Elysian Park in Los Angeles, I could have sworn I saw and heard the fairies deep among the silence of early mist and dews. Maybe I dreamed, I wonder. Are there fairies? I'm not sure, but we do have miracles. Every kitten is a miracle, and love is surely a continuing miracle. And let's pause for a moment with this Coatsworth poem, Night is a Friend. Night is so big and you are so small. Aren't you afraid? Afraid at all? Not a bit afraid, pussycat mew. What such a big night might do to you? I'm not afraid. Why should I be? Night is a friend and kind to me. On velvet feet through the dark I run till it's time to come home to sleep in the sun. My Oak Glen friends, where they grow those big flavorful apples, would especially enjoy the tale of the Apple Cottage. I could not help thinking of Hildebrand's evening play with my shoes when I retire as I read the verse, Kitten, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Wash my whiskers and play in your shoe. Pretend your shoe is a little house. Pretend I peep out and see a mouse. Out I'll jump and catch him too, and then go to sleep in your empty shoe. And does the author know cats? What a volume of lore, even as yours and mine, are reflected in the cat's agreement. I'll play when I want to. I'll mew when I'm hungry. I'll scratch when I'm squeezed. You'll know what I'm about, for when I'm out, I'll want in, and when I'm in, I'll want out. I'll purr when I'm pleased, I'll come when I'm ready. Isn't that the cat? And there you are, just a wee sample of prose and poems and out-of-this-world illustrations in the Golden Book of Cat Stories by Elizabeth Coatsworth and drawings by Rodzinkowski. My heartiest recommendation of every brilliant page. For quite a few months, there has been cropping out in print reports of a survey at UCLA in which more men, when asked what animal form they would prefer to return after death, chose the dog or the eagle. More women, heaven bless their dear understanding hearts, preferred reincarnation as a cat. Constance Barton of Everett, Washington, quotes in a recent number of the Animalist Crusader from Robert R. Logan, quote, "We have our part to play in the new era, and it is our privilege to spread across the doctrine of men's duty to the helpless. It should be written large upon our standard that the brotherhood of man cannot be founded save upon the realization of the unity of existence and love of all living things," unquote. Check up another mark for the cat as a hunter. Scorpions this time. Dr. Ida M. Mellon sends this extract from Dr. Stanky's booklet on scorpions from the University of Arizona Press. Quote, "Chickens and ducks and cats act as scorpion controls in varying degrees. If chickens can get under the dwellings where the scorpions are hiding, they can be effective. But frequently they get stung and die. Ducks are active during the night and less frequently get stung. When cats are trained to catch scorpions, they can be very effective controlling agents. Their fur-protected mouth and mousing habits keep them from getting stung. In addition to this, laboratory experimentation has discovered that it takes the equivalent of the venom of 62 scorpions to kill a mature cat. A 2-pound kitten stung 9 times by a large deadly scorpion became quite ill, salivated very excessively, and was temporarily paralyzed in all 4 legs, but recovered completely with no ill effects afterwards. Thus, their natural immunity and clever habits as hunters have trained cats to be the best automatic scorpion eradicators, unquote. My fine friend, T.W. Small, Ted to all his close friends, and that includes just about everybody he meets, and his family are great lovers of cats, and in their home the fur babies are folks. Watching them recently, Ted cleared away his breakfast plate and wrote, "What dumb animals teach me, I most highly value. For daily the pets that live in my home show traits so straightforward, so right and plain honest, I often am prompted to make them my own. There's honor and patience, there's deep affection, and more often I see these dumb creatures perform acts of great kindness toward one another, acts that when summed up turn a house into a home. I like their respect for the rights of each other. I like their quick action when one does a wrong. I like all their ways as they live there among us. I'm grateful they're part of the small place I call home." T.W. Small. Another day we were discussing the unity of all life when Ted turned to his typewriter and wrote this one. "What matter that it's man or beast or flower fair, a jellyfish or bird or ibis rare, the hand of God upon the dust was pressed, and each received a living form and usefulness. Love is not large or small. It is as large as all the universe and as small as science can divide matter, and without it there can be no harmony. This is Guy Bogart with love and joy to each of you, folks and felines. May you ever sleep as snugly as a kitten and wake with its joyous purr."